Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. And today we want to return to the second letter of Paul to Timothy, and we find ourselves in chapter 3. Paul has been encouraging Timothy, preparing Timothy, nurturing Timothy to be as a successor, really, to step in when he can't be there. And he speaks very, very fondly of Timothy as a true disciple and someone that he can rely upon. In chapter 3, he wants to remind Timothy, and indeed others who will read this, that the last days will be marked by very, very bad behaviour. He talks about people loving themselves, loving money, disobedience to parents, ungrateful, slanderous, not lovers of the good, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Things that sadly describe very much the days in which we live. He says this, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. This hint at shallowness and no real grasp of Scripture and what it really means to be a Christian. He talks about the fact that the last days will be characterized by false teaching and by people who try to get others on side, but really through rather deceitful ways, picking on the gullible and just really taking advantage of some of the disadvantaged people. He goes on in the chapter to actually exhort Timothy to be faithful to the word of God. He's really saying, I believe, that the way you combat these last days is to keep preaching truth. And he says, you know my personal lifestyle, Timothy, you know my convictions, you know what I've believed in, and I just want you to seek to imitate that, and particularly I want you to share the word of God. He says the word of God was able to bring you to salvation. It was hearing God's word that caused you to be aware of your sin and aware of your disobedience, aware of the fact that before a holy God you were guilty and you needed a saviour. And the word of God taught you that Jesus had died in order that he could be your saviour. He was punished in your place. He suffered on your behalf. And then Paul makes a statement which is just so, so important. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed. That's a very powerful comment, that the Scripture, the Bible, as we now have come to know it, those 66 books, Genesis through to Revelation, they are God-breathed. The Holy Spirit actually breathed upon the writers so that what they actually started to note down was not their ideas and their way of looking at things, even key truths that they held dear. It was more than that. The Holy Spirit just inspired them in such an incredible way that what they are writing down is in fact the very word of God. And Paul says it's God-breathed. It's useful to teach, rebuke, correct, to train. It's useful for equipping people to be the servants of God that they need to be. And we're going to have to pause here because it would be good to listen to some worship. My good friend Patrick will join me just to look a little bit more into 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Can a man wash his sins away in the water of a river? Is he cleansed by shedding blood? Will piercing bring salvation? And how many miles must must he walk to find a God who can forgive him? And where is the Spirit who will teach him how to live? Can a man find peace and joy from something he's created? Will his striving set him free and earn him his salvation? And how will he know the love of God, the freedom and forgiveness? And who will share with him the hope that he can find? Died to set us free. Have you seen the striving of people who don't yet believe? Will you help to bring good news to those who need the truth? Tell them Jesus carried the burden of
listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look a little further into these verses from the second letter of Timothy, chapter 3. Talks about the last days then, Richard. Let's just clarify what we mean, because this was written 2,000 years ago. They thought they were in the last days. Have the last days come yet?
Well, I think that clearly it is a very broad term. But what the Bible teaches us is that things happen in seasons. There was a season of time where people prepared for Jesus to come. And that was an awful lot of days, but that was a season. And then there was the season when Jesus came himself and ministered and went to the cross, rose from the dead, ascended. And then the next season is the period of time since the ascension of Jesus back into heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit. We are in last days until everything is brought together. So we're closer than we were, because the Old Testament people were a long way off, even during the ministry of Jesus, a bit of a way off. And now we're still some way off, but we are in that last section of time.
So the people of the time here must have thought that the second coming of Christ was actually quite imminent. You get that feel, don't you, in some of the Gospels, certainly. It didn't happen in their lifetime. It hasn't happened so far. So how should Christians sort of then live with the knowledge that this is perhaps imminent, but might not be in their lifetime?
Well, I believe that it's a challenge, but actually when you become a Christian, it's like you move into a different aspect of life. Before we become Christians, life is all about this time and our generation and what we're handling in front of us. But when we become Christians, we get a kind of a sense of eternity and the reality that actually what life is about is preparing to be with Jesus forever. And therefore, although, yes, in terms of chronological physical time, we may still be waiting a long time before Jesus comes back, it could happen at any time. Mm. And because we're now spiritual beings, we're alive in Christ, we're not dead in our sins anymore, we're up for that. We're ready for that. At any time, he can come.
Mm. The kind of things that Paul talks about in this chapter 3, it's pretty grim stuff, isn't it? And yet, you can see, can't you, human nature being a part of this really just as much now as it was then.
Yes, that's right. And that, of course, also adds to the frustration, if you like, the challenge of why are we waiting?
Mm.
Because it's not as if people are improving or getting any better.
Mm.
If anything, worse.
Yeah.
And therefore, yes, it is salutary that human nature, it may manifest itself in different ways with modern technology and all of that, but essentially the nature of man to rebel and disobey God, it's been there, it is there, and it will be there until Jesus finally comes back.
So let's pick up on verse 16 then, this idea that all scripture is God-breathed, inspired, I think is another way that you might put it. What does that actually mean? Does it mean that God sort of wrote the Bible?
Well, we don't sense that there was a massive hand and a massive pen and a massive ink pot that was being dipped in to write. But I think it means that when we look at the Word of God, when we look at our Bible, the inspiration behind these words that have been written came from God. Of course, all great writers, all great artists, sculptors or whatever, they get an inspiration from somewhere to make what they make, draw what they draw, write what they write. And what we're saying is the inspiration that came upon these writers to record for us the Bible, it was God. God was the one touching them, putting into their minds things they didn't always understand, but saying, this is what I want you to record.
And because of that, we can say that it's a trustworthy thing.
Absolutely. It is thoroughly trustworthy. And we haven't got time here, but it's amazing how this book of 66 books has a common theme. And when you consider how many hundreds of years the period between the first and the last being written, it is amazing that it reads as one book. It is God's book.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.